Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Throughout his administration, President Trump has continued to place immigration at the forefront of his policies. And in this, he found an unlikely ally.
We've had a tremendous relationship over the last 2 years on the border. We've signed agreements with Guatemala that have been tremendous in terms of really both countries, but our country with respect to illegals coming into our country. We just can't have it, and it's been very much slowed up. Guatemala's been terrific.
Guatemala's former president Jimmy Morales cozied up to Trump from the start of Trump's presidency. And now a new investigation from Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting shows that there's credible suspicions for a quid pro quo between Morales and President Trump, where Morales agreed to a U.S. immigration policy in exchange for the U.S.'s support in ousting an anti-corruption commission and its top official. This former top official, Ivan Velasquez, used to be at the head of the International Commission Against Impunity in Guatemala, also known as CICIG. CICIG initially received funding and support from the U.S. government to do away with corruption in the country. But last year, when CICIG began investigating allegations against Morales, the anti-corruption body was shut down. And now Ivan Velasquez is alleging that the U.S. government helped support the shuttering of the commission in exchange for support from Guatemala for the Safe Third Country Agreement, a policy to stop migration flows to the U.S. I spoke with Aneancy Diaz-Cortez, a reporter and radio producer with Reveal, who helped break down this alleged quid pro quo.
What Ivan Velasquez alleges that in exchange for getting the commission and him ousted out of Guatemala threateningly, Ivan Velasquez says, look at the reality of what Trump got in exchange. Like, you don't need me to allege it. Look at the reality. After there's jeeps circling the CICIG offices, shortly after we see kind of a blossoming relationship between Morales and Trump. Right after Ivan Velasquez is taken out, you see that Trump gets an open-door policy into Guatemalan migration policy.
And what was the result of that migration policy for people who kind of forget what happened?
The result of that migration policy, as you know, is basically that before people coming from El Salvador or Honduras, before they can go up north to claim asylum in the U.S., they have to claim asylum in Guatemala. And what this effectively does, it states that Guatemala is a safe third country. And what that means is that it's safe for immigrants to claim asylum. But our question throughout this whole time was like, if this is a safe country, then why in 2019 did 280,000 Guatemalans get deported from the southwest U.S. border back to Guatemala? If it's so safe, why are people fleeing in the hundreds of thousands every single year?
So let's go back to the roots of this situation, or at least to the roots of this new anti-corruption commission that was established in Guatemala and was championed by the previous administration and Vice President Joe Biden. When was it put in place and why?
Arun, the thing to understand here is that it was put in place in the early 2000s, and it was seen as a kind of reckoning between the United States and Guatemala after decades of civil war, where through the Cold War and since 1954, we know well-documented U.S. involvement in support of merciless military dictatorships that went on to commit genocide. And this was all supported by the U.S. When the peace accords get signed in 1997, not to go too into the weeds, Bill Clinton goes to Guatemala and apologizes. And he's like, this is a new beginning. And so the CICIG, this anti-corruption commission, is kind of set up as a reckoning to be like, okay, let's do the, what are the root causes of migration? Why do people continue to want to come? Because when you live in a failed state, when you live in a place rife with corruption, where you can't go to the cops, where there's no access to like medical care, where there's no accountability for those in power, the logical place is like you look north. You look to the north where you can make a life for yourself, where mm-hmm. you can have hope in the future, right? So this commission was set up to do like the very boring labor of institution building, of investigating, of making the link between corruption and people in power, right? And it was a success. It started under Bush, you know, and it was funded by the U.S. So it was UN appointed, funded by the U.S. with the support of the Guatemalan Congress. So you needed this kind of dream team approach where everyone was working together, where this commission could make recommendations, but they had to be implemented by Guatemalan Congress, and the money came from the U.S.
And Nancy, what exactly happened when Ivan Velasquez, the head of CICIG, caught wind of the alleged corruption from Morales and his family?
Velasquez catches wind that there's some fraud going on with these receipts and these checks that were never cashed, and it involves the president's family. He calls Jimmy Morales out. Jimmy Morales accepts this, goes on national television, condemns impunity, but obviously that's not enough for Velasquez. Velasquez wants Jimmy Morales to stand before a judge. And this is where the rift really starts to happen. It was the beginning of the end, in some ways, of the commission in Guatemala. And when you ask Velasquez why go after them, his response is, if the law isn't for the powerful, if the law is only there for the dispossessed, then is it law, right? So his stance is very, the law is
purist.
The law is the law. Yes,
yeah, I mean, purist. In some ways, when I read this fact that this very powerful independent prosecutor is willing to go after what is clearly a crime, but also involves several thousand dollars, we're not talking about a massive amount of corruption, it did initially strike me as, does this guy understand how to navigate power, or is he going to sort of prove to be partly his own undoing?
I mean, that's exactly the right analysis, Arun, because, I mean, he got into a lot of hot water for not being able to kind of handle politically the situation of, like, who to go after and how. I think his perspective is, he went after like rings of corruption where like you would pull on one thread and then the $11,000 led to like a larger kind of campaign finance situation with Morales, and he would keep on pulling that way. But in terms of like the stakes of this led to basically the commission being squashed, you know, what was it worth it? And we asked him, and his stance is the rule of law. Basically, this is what he says is his calling. But at this point in the story, Morales starts to really send signals and do lobbying efforts from Guatemala to the U.S. to kind of curry favor with the Trump administration and be like, hey, you have Robert Mueller. Right around the same time, Robert Mueller was investigating Trump. Velasquez talks about this conversation that his staff people told him about, where it was like, you have Robert Mueller, I have Ivan Velasquez. We share, you know, we share the same suffering in some ways, you know? So,
So you have this sort of nexus between the American president and the Guatemalan president. For Morales, as he kind of starts pushing back against this anti-corruption effort in his country, how was this playing out nationally? I mean, did you have a base there that was really rallying around him, or was it seen as his interference with a very necessary system of anti-corruption crusaders?
I mean, you had, you know, what you do have, and like, you know, you do one Google search and it's like, when you follow this timeline of like the persona non grata, and then when he eventually gets kicked out, I mean, what the CC was you have civil society on the street protesting in support of Velasquez. And what you created, you know, is kind of the beginnings of a culture of like rule of law and accountability. And he was strongly supported. The CC was strongly supported by civil society within Guatemala. No, but I think just the persistence of Velasquez to continue what some would call like a fixation of going after Morales and like not backing down, ends up happening is that, you know, after the embassy of Guatemala moves to Jerusalem, after the U.S. embassy moves as well, after Nikki Haley goes to Guatemala and is like, Velasquez, tone it down, like, stop it with the I Heart CICIG bumper stickers, chill out on the press conferences, like, you know, the FBI doesn't make the paper every day, like, you need, you know. And then it went from there to like, you're affecting the business in Guatemala, you're affecting the sovereignty of Guatemala. There was like a slow asphyxiation that was happening of the CICIG while this campaign in Washington was brewing around Ivan Velasquez and the CICIG being an arm of Vladimir Putin and Ivan Velasquez being a Russian agent. Now, this sounds fringy, Arun, but hold on a second. This thinking makes it to the pages of the Wall Street Journal Journal, and it makes it to the halls of Congress around this time. So there's like Chris Smith, there's people in Congress advocating to end the CICIG because they believe that it is an arm of Russia and that Ivan Velasquez is a Russian agent, right? So we asked Ivan Velasquez this, if he was a Russian agent, and, you know, in his own words, he's never been to Russia. He doesn't have communications with any Russians. It hasn't been proven that he has connections to Russia. But this thinking makes it to Congress and is kind of the foundation that the U.S. uses to pull support, to pull financial support, only $10 million supporting this commission. This is what they use to pull the plug, like the justification for this commission not to continue.
And what is the benefit as you see it? Because it's not only Republicans like Marco Rubio who come out, you know, with this kind of elevated scrutiny of CICIG and what's happening in Guatemala. It's also there are some Democrats as well, right? It's like there's this kind of like dark cloud that suddenly hangs over this foreign policy effort.
I mean, it was a bipartisan effort from the beginning to support it. And in pulling the plug, it was also a bipartisan effort. I think what happens is that there's a huge lobbying support in taking out the CICIG and saying, okay, they had their turn, let Guatemalan civil society take over. And that's what CICIG was intended for, was for, you know, Guatemalans to take ownership of their own judicial system. So in January of this year, Jimmy Morales left office, and there was, you know, since CICIG was kicked out of the country, we've kind of seen a return to the way things used to be. Guatemala's new president, Alejandro Giammattei, has deep ties to drug mafias and former military officials. He used to oversee the prison system, and CICIG even went after him for illegally killing prisoners. So why would you let in a commission that has already gone after you? And since he took office, 12 human rights defenders have been killed in Guatemala, and others have fled the country. So there is a return, and the CICIG building, like the physical building, is scheduled to be demolished this year.
Anayansi Diaz-Cortez is a reporter and radio producer with Reveal. Anayansi, thank you so much for your reporting.
Thanks, Arun. So good to be here.